Okay, good morning everybody. We're back to Schar Shabbos, but we'll get to the end of Schar Shabbos as well today, just to recap and to fill in some points that I left out last week. So, Schar Shabbos is when a person gets paid for doing something on Shabbos. He gets employed on Shabbos, and payment for that employment is considered Schar Shabbos, and therefore is also to pay for goods that you received on Shabbos, if the goods are received obviously in a way that's permissible. Like we said, someone needed medicine and they picked up medicine from the pharmacy with the condition that they would pay after Shabbos. That is not Schar Shabbos permissible. But to do work, even if the work itself does not violate any problems of Shabbos, but just having your time paid for on Shabbos is a problem. Schar Shabbos, which we said is like mekach u'menkach. So we said like hiring a babysitter, waiters, security guard, all those cases we said are examples of Schar Shabbos. Now to take it a little further, we said that the heter in Schar Shabbos is if you do it for havlo. Havlo means that you are paid for Shabbos as well as non-Shabbos. So you paid it as a lump sum. Havlo actually means swallowed up. It means it gets paid as a lump sum and it doesn't, the money that you get paid for Shabbos doesn't stick out as something separate that you were paid for, but rather it goes as a lump sum of everything together. Therefore, it would be mutter. So we had examples that if you hire a babysitter, so get the babysitter to do some work on Friday already, and then into Shabbos, or Shabbos and then to Moitzei Shabbos. And that way, when you pay the babysitter, you're paying them for work that was done during the week and on Shabbos. Even if the work during the week is minor and the work done on Shabbos is the major portion, nevertheless, it's paid as a lump sum and therefore it is permissible because it's paid by havlo. So there was something I wanted to say last week and I didn't verify it, so I said I'd get back to it, and that is that this idea of havlo is when it's one form of employment. That means like a babysitter. A babysitter did work on Friday and work on Shabbos. You're paying for work on Friday, work on Shabbos. The caterer sets up the hall on Friday and also does waiting services on Shabbos. You're paying them for one and the same type of work. But if it's two different contracts, two different forms of employment, that it happens to be they do different work, but it's two separate contracts. You had someone do work for you on Wednesday, and then you hired them again to do work for you on Shabbos. So the fact that you pay the Wednesday and you pay the Shabbos together, there was 100 shekels for this, 100 shekels for that, and you gave them the 200 shekels when they were finished, that doesn't make it behalf long. There must be some connection between the two. That's what I wanted to say last week. So if you, there must be some sort of connection between the two that you're paying them as a lump sum for both days. Because as we pointed out, if a person is a daily worker and he gets paid on a daily basis, so yesh omrim, there's what to say that his work that he gets paid on a daily basis, you pay, even though at the end of the month he gets paid one lump sum, but he gets paid according to the cheshbon of, oh, this is Monday, this is for Tuesday, this is for Wednesday, I owe you for Thursday, for Friday, and for Shabbos. And maybe you're paying Shabbos. It happens to be that the check comes as one check of all of them, but each day is a separate day of employment. We did say that if you have a long-term employee, meaning Lavdaka means long-term, that you hired it for 10 years. Long-term is you hired someone for a three-day job, and he had to clock in, and he had to give his hours. And he said that he worked 8 hours during the week, and he worked 17 hours on the weekend, or whatever it was. But it was one big job, and even though he clocked in his hours and you paid him accordingly, that was a lump sum. But someone whose work is an individual type of work every single day, and the way he is employed is that each day is a cheshbon on its own. Oh, you came in Monday, you didn't come in Tuesday, you came in Wednesday, maybe you came in Shabbos, you didn't come in Sunday. Excuse me. So therefore, when it's paid on a daily cheshbon, it's considered as separate amounts, and therefore will be considered as Schar Shabbos. When is it not considered Schar Shabbos? It was considered one large cheshbon, even though you do take into account how much they worked in Shabbos and how not, just to make a cheshbon of what they owe you. So that is, I wanted to clarify that point. Therefore, again, if someone worked on a Wednesday, did something for you on a Wednesday, and they did again something for you on Shabbos, and now you want to pay them together, that's two separate payments. That's not considered, even though you pay them as one, that's not considered as Havlah. Havlah is when they do something where part of the preparation for the Shabbos work would be done on a Wednesday, so then it would be Havlah. So we'll see more examples of this as we go further. So, renting a car. You rent a car, and the rental company charges you on a daily basis. Each day is a separate rental agreement, and if you kept the car over time, they would add another day's rental for that. So every day has its own cheshbon, so to speak. So even though you paid as a lump sum at the end, there is a swara to say that renting a car would be a problem of Sar Shabbos. You rented a car for a six-day period, which went from Tuesday to Sunday or something like that, inclusive. That therefore, it includes a Shabbos. So there's a problem of paying Sar Shabbos. The heter given on such a thing is that the rental companies work out the cost of the rent, what we call me'eis le'eis, on a 24-hour when you take it. You take it at 10 o'clock in the morning, you got to bring it back by 10 o'clock the next day. You take it at 4 in the afternoon, you got to bring it back by 4 in the afternoon. So it very rarely happens that a person's going to rent a car at Shkia time, which would mean that, say, you're renting a car at 10 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, so they charge you 10 o'clock Thursday till 10 o'clock Friday, 10 o'clock Friday to 10 o'clock Shabbos, 10 o'clock Shabbos till 10 o'clock Sunday. So what you're paying for on Shabbos either is part of the Friday payment or it's part of the Sunday payment, because it's not the exact 24 hours of Shabbos. Shabbos, the way we see our Shabbos from Shkia to Shkia, let's call it that, from night to night, is in the way the rental period works out, is that you have part of it is in this day and part of it is in that day. What would be a shaila, and this I see there's no clear answer to this, I think if a person has such a question, you should ask or what you should do, is when you have a two-day Yom Tov or Yom Tov next to Shabbos, and then you don't have the setter because it will run into one another. So it could be that in a rental car, you have Shabbos is together with Friday, and the Sunday is together with Monday. The problem is that the time in between, in other words, you're paying from, let us say, Yom Tov is on, like now, we've got Rosh Hashanah coming up. So Rosh Hashanah is on a Thursday, and Friday, and Shabbos. And you rent a car from Sunday to Sunday. So you're paying for rental from Sunday to Monday, Monday to Tuesday, Tuesday to Wednesday, Wednesday to Thursday. So Wednesday to Thursday includes the first part of Rosh Hashanah, which is not a problem the next day. But then you're paying from Thursday to Friday, which is Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. You're paying from Friday to Shabbos, which is Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos. And then you're paying Shabbos Sunday, which includes Sunday, so that will be fine. But you've got two payments in the middle, which would be purely on Yom Tov or Shabbos. But that brings is a shaila, and one should ask a shaila before getting to such a situation. The Minchas Yitzchak, if I remember correctly, I didn't check it up again this time, didn't see it brought down over here in the Shmir Shabbos, has the same type of shaila when you have a savings account that generates interest. Now, the way the banks work is they give you an annual interest rate. They'll tell you we're giving you 3% per interest per annum on your account. They compound it monthly. That means they see how much interest you've earned through the month. At the end of the month, they add it to your account. And then the next month, the interest will be included with the previous, with the opening balance plus the interest on top of it. And then move on. So it gets what they call an annual calculation, compounded monthly, but calculated daily, because at the end of the day, you're taking money out, putting money in it. You might be making withdrawals and deposits throughout the month or every day, whatever. So they call it an annual calculation, compounded monthly, calculated daily. If it's calculated daily, so essentially you're getting a daily calculation of the interest. So if that's the case, interest for money that they're holding on to for you over Shabbos should be considered as Schar Shabbos as well. I remember the Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva on it, and I remember that he brings this idea that the banks, since they do calculate it daily, so they work out midnight to midnight, because that's when the calendar day ends, according to them, and therefore, for Shabbos, essentially, it's not a problem, because Friday runs into midnight, and Shabbos runs into Sunday, and then you've got Havlah with during the week. The problem is when you have 2 days. I don't remember what he answers, but I remember that he had the Shaila. So could be that since it's even though it's calculated daily, but it's a monthly sum, so it could be that that would be Bahavlah. I don't remember. I'm just bringing it up, but there's this issue. The same thing would apply if you are renting dishes for a Suda, some sort of event, and you rent Kalim, that if you're renting it for just Shabbos, there will be a problem of paying for them for Star Shabbos. There will be Star Shabbos to pay for the rental, and therefore you should make a deal with the person who's renting the Kalim to you that the rental period starts before Shabbos or continues into Motzei Shabbos. And therefore you're renting it not just for the 24 hours of Shabbos, but the 26 hours or you're renting it from Friday afternoon 12 to Shabbos afternoon 12, whatever it is, but have in mind that what you're doing, and perhaps even talk it out with him, that the rental period starts already from before Shabbos, there is no problem of Schar Shabbos was done by Havlah. Another heter for Schar Shabbos is when the work that is required needs a preparation. And what you do is that when you pay for the work, you include in his payment the amount of time that he has done for preparing. And then the preparation which he's done during the week will be Bahavlah with the payment that he's done on Shabbos. So an example would be, if you go to a hotel and you book a hotel room for Shabbos and Shabbos only, and you get food for Shabbos and Shabbos only. You come in just before Shabbos and you get your room for Shabbos, and once Shabbos immediately you leave, and you only eat Shabbos meals over there, you don't stay for Malava Malka, you don't even partake of the Toya Meal, which I see has become a big thing in the from hotels. There's a minig, what brought down in the Shabura, brought down in Magen Avraham, that one should taste one's Shabbos food already on Friday. Not like this why one does it. The posh of chat is because you want your food to be good on Shabbos, and therefore you should make a point to test it before Shabbos. Some say that there's more esoteric reason, and therefore everybody should do it and not just the cook. And therefore the hotels now have a new thing that they set up a big smorgasbord on Friday and they call it a Toya Meha event. And you come in at 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon and you take a preview of what's going to be served on Shabbos. So if you're not partaking of the hotel's Toya Meha and you're only eating the regular meals and you're only sleeping there for the regular time, so there is a reason to believe that that would be also because what you're paying for is purely for Shabbos rental and therefore should be Schar Shabbos. The heter of doing such a thing is that when you pay for a hotel, you're paying for your beds to be made when you come in. You're paying for the food to be cooked and you're paying that your room should be cleaned when you finish. They don't ask you to clean when you're done. Included in the rental price is the cleaning that comes up after. The cleaning crew will come in and vacuum and change the linen and prepare for the next guest. And even if there's no guest, they're still going to take the linen off and send it down to the laundry. And therefore, there's a certain amount of work that has to be done during week time that is included in your rental fee. Therefore, your rental fee includes what we call hachana, the preparation, and therefore you can pay for such a room on Shabbos when you know that there is a certain amount of outside work, preparatory work that has to be done outside of Shabbos. However, if you rent a room, you rent a yechida from a friend, and you tell him that you are bringing your own linen, leave it clean, and he doesn't have to do anything for you, and you're just renting it for Shabbos, that taka would be a problem, because there's no preparation has to be made, you're doing it yourself, and you're only renting it for Shabbos, so that taka would be a problem of Schar Shabbos. And if you're in such a situation that you're going to be renting it for Shabbos, where you're going to take care of it yourself, so then you should make sure that the rental period starts already from Friday afternoon and not from just Shabbos. Make it start from an hour before Shabbos. Well, you tell him clearly that you're paying for an hour after Shabbos also, whatever it is, so then you get a situation of Havlah. If one uses a mikvah on Shabbos and the water has been heated, then the same thing. If you pay for the uses of the mikvah, obviously you can't bring money on Shabbos, and you can't pay for it on Shabbos, but you either pay in advance or you pay afterwards. So then the same thing would be that since the mikvah goes through a certain amount of cleaning after it gets used, you might the water has to be heated, you might borrow a towel or something like that, it has to be washed, whatever the case may be, then that would be a heter to pay for mikvah usage, because you're also paying for something that was done during the week, as in the heating of the water or the cleaning before the cleaning after, something like that. Obviously, someone who has a manui, like at the men's mikveh, the men who go regularly and they have a subscription, so then Shabbos is the haplol, is nothing to worry about. What about buying an entry ticket for the zoo and going to the zoo on Shabbos? So interesting. First of all, you have to know that buying a ticket to the zoo has to be something that is considered standard practice, that people buy tickets in advance and can show up on Shabbos and just go into the zoo. Otherwise, it would be a problem of Mari Sain that someone thinks that you paid for it on Shabbos, that you made a private arrangement that you paid for it on Friday, and then on Shabbos you showed up with your tickets, and then they let you in. People say, oh, you paid for this on Shabbos, and therefore you can't do it. It should be in a place where it is known and accepted that you make a payment in advance, and you can use your ticket whenever you come, and you decide to come on Shabbos. Obviously, that's one issue that you have to avoid, and the second issue, obviously, is that if you need a ticket, then you have the zoo must be in a place where there's a way to bring your ticket there. There's an Eruv, or maybe you went on Yom Tov, so there's no problem of carrying, and etc. So Lo Yatzur, you have such a park and a place that you can go in that charges an entry fee, and you can pay in advance, and you have no problem of carrying. So now the question is, can you go to such a place on Shabbos? Hooray, you're paying entrance for the couple of hours that you're going to be enjoying at this place, at the zoo. And that's hours that you're spending on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and therefore should be considered as Sfar Shabbos. So here too, you can rely on the fact that your payment to the zoo goes towards not only your enjoyment, but the part of the money that you pay is for the upkeep of the zoo, so that you can enjoy it when you come. And the upkeep includes cleaning and feeding and looking after the animals and all the rest, and a lot of the stuff that is done during the week. Therefore, again, here you have a situation of a rental, a period, a Sechar Shabbos period that you've done, where you have where your payment includes a work that was done during the week, and therefore becomes as havla'a, and therefore will be mutter and not a problem of Sechar Shabbos. Now, when it comes to a dvar mitzvah, someone is hired to do a mitzvah on Shabbos, there is a machloikus whether the issue, the prohibition of Sechar Shabbos applies to something which is a mitzvah, and therefore in extenuating circumstances, obviously would be mako. But because it's a machlokas, we try avoid it. So what would be examples? Examples of a chazan who is paid to David Musaf, a Baal Tekeya who's on the Tzibur, a Baal Koyre who's going to be laning, all these cases of someone who's doing a mitzvah to be moitzi the Tzibur. So there is a tzad to say in the Shulchan Aruch that he can do this job on Shabbos and give after Shabbos or before Shabbos, not obviously not on Shabbos, get paid for his work and all good and fine. Even those who say it's mutter do point out that the receiver of such money is not going to see bracha from the proceeds of such an employment. We have that a few times. Certain things that are not directly asur, but Chazal discourage people from doing it, and they put some sort of klala on the proceeds of such a thing, and they say eino roya sim bracha, is not bracha from it. And people ask, well, I've done it, and then you see I have another $100 in my pocket, so what do you mean I'm not seeing it rise in profit? Part to explain is that in the big picture of things, this money is not going to be considered as a profit. You'll see that there's going to be an expense somewhere else, which will counterbalance it, and at the end of the day, your final balance for the year will not become any bigger because of this particular status. An example of a time where one should not be working, but it's not an Issa Gomer, but if one does, it's Enerosim Bracha, is doing Malacha on Shabbos afternoon in cases where it's Asur. If someone does do Malacha, then you say Enerosim Bracha. So for example, if you're doing, so one of the examples of what Hatheta would be like having a haircut and paying the barber, so that's Lichvay Shabbos, and that is clear that if the person is doing it for the sake of Shabbos, you can pay the barber to give you a haircut even Friday afternoon. But it would be something else, like sewing that is not necessary for Shabbos, it's regular weekday dress, and you're a seamstress, and someone gave you sewing to do, So that would be a problem of, there'll be a problem of doing melacha on Erev Shabbos, and even if you get paid for it, so Chazal tell us en erois from bracha. An interesting discussion once with one of my chavrusas about this is people get dressed for Shabbos, and then they take pictures. And it happened once in our family that we got together, a couple of families together, and we were for Shabbos, and we brought with a photographer, and we then had pictures taken once everybody was ready for Shabbos. The photographer was paid for his work. So is that mutter for the photographer to take money for the photographer? So essentially, it depends what time of day it is, and it could be that there would not be mutter to hire him to do it, and if he did hire him, he would see some bracha from it. The Tzad Hedesh Aboy, just, I know this is off topic, not so much in Tzad Shabbos, but Tzad Hedesh Aboy would be, is there's a machlokas at what time does the prohibition start? Does it start from Mincha Gedolah or Mincha Tekana? Mincha Gedolah is half an hour after Shkia. Some hold that the time that you should stop doing malachas on Friday, which are not related to Shabbos, is from half an hour after Shkia. And some hold that it is from Mincha Tekana, which is 2.5 hours before Shkia. So, L'chaira, you can be machmir, and it's very nice when people close up shop and go home from work already at Mincha Gdoila, but L'chaira, that person is another makel to Mincha Tekana, because at the end of the day, all of it is not an ismer, it's a chazal, don't want you to do work then. And can a Catholic, if you do, they say, any roi simma bracha, but on something where a person takes it, there's a shita that holds it, that a knas that chazal give won't apply if you have a shita to rely on. So since I have a shita to rely on, that zman ismer is only from Mincha Tekana, so if I did the work before that, then the knas of Chazal that Enerayim Sim Bracha won't. So Lefaria, it was right to have a photographer come and do the pictures and get paid. And he probably will make a profit off it if it was all finished by Mincha Tekana, which, if I remember correctly, it was. Nafkamina also for all the people who are employed on a Friday afternoon. Baruch Hashem here in Eretz Yisrael, it's less prevalent, but in Chutz La'aretz, people have standard jobs from 9 to 5. And Friday they work as late as they can, and in the winter it gets very late. And even if they leave work an hour early, they're still running after the Katana time. Sometimes they don't have a choice, because otherwise they won't have a job. But just know that work that he did at the end of the day is not considered as profitable. So, back to our subject of Sfar Shabbos. We said that someone who is doing work on Shabbos for the sake of a mitzvah, like a chazan or a bal tekiah, so there are opinions that are matirut, that he may do such a thing, but even the Makilin hold that if he does do it, the proceeds are considered as eneroya boisim bracha, and therefore it's best to try and make an etzah, at least do it the way the oisim would say. The oisim who say you can't do it will tell you that the way to do it is to be paid by havlah. How do you do that? Is that the chazan, for example, you tell him that true, you're going to be davening musaf, but please daven mincha on Friday afternoon also, or daven Maariv and Moed Shabbos, or come in on Wednesday as part of your employment for Shabbos, is you need to do one tefillah during the week. Then the tefillah during the week will be put together with the Shabbos davening and will be considered as havlah. And the Baal Tekeh, you say that you should be the Baal Tekeh during Musaf in Shul, and you'd be paid to blow, sorry, not during Musaf, during Elul, and you've been paid to blow not only for Rosh Hashanah, but also for what you blew during Elul. So the whole of Elul plus Rosh Hashanah becomes weekday and Yom Tov, and then it would be as considered as Havlah. Another Eitzah would be given is if you pay him for preparing. A Baal Tekeh might be an expert in many years, but as far as I know, most Baal Tekeh will at least spend some time before Rosh Hashanah practicing and preparing everything right, going through the halachos. If you pay them for what they have prepared for this beforehand, then also that is considered as paying with the job with the hachana in advance. Here's an interesting case. If you have a doctor, any other medical personnel, nurse or paramedic or whatever it is, that gets called out on Shabbos to take care of an issue, and all they do is work on Shabbos, not before, not after. Now the question is, they usually do this work for pay. Can they take pay for what they did? The answer is yes, they may be paid for what they have done. Obviously, they should not be giving out an invoice on Shabbos and not discuss it on Shabbos. They come, they show up, they do, and then after Shabbos, they tell them that this was not free and you should please pay, which is mutter for them to do it. But preferably, they should somehow have a follow-up during the week and then ask for payment for both of them together. That way, you avoid having to rely on Ethereum and rather would be sure of that case of Havla. Another interesting one is if a person charges a Shabbos rate, meaning we have regular hours and we have overtime, we have week hours and weekday hours and weekend hours. So if a person has these special charges, then we say that the extra that he adds on his hours are considered as Schar Shabbos. Therefore, even if a person does something for Havla, so he charges a fee for what he does during the week, but he charges a higher fee for what's done over Shabbos because it's considered weekend rates, a weekend tariff, there would be a problem of Schar Shabbos on the extra tariff. Therefore, he has to be careful that when a person makes out an invoice for work that was done on Shabbos, which included work that was done during the week, so that it would be by Havla, that it doesn't show that the Shabbos time is paid more at a higher rate than what is paid during the week. If a person did work on Shabbos without any work during the week or without it being a Dvar Mitzvah, and now the issue is Schar Shabbos, as we said, you may not receive payment. Such a thing, you can do it. You can babysit someone's kids on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with that. The question of what's wrong is receiving payment. If there was no Havla, there was no heifer to receive the money, and the person went ahead and received the money for it, we're going to say that that money is considered Schar Shabbos money, and you're not allowed to have hanah from such money, you're not allowed to use it, and you can't give it to someone else to use. It's also for everybody to use such money on that has been earned through Schar Shabbos without any help. That brings us to the end of the subject of Schar Shabbos. The next topic in Mitzvah Shem is the topic of Hachana. I was thinking not to start a new topic today, because next week I want to discuss more things that are related to Rosh Hashanah, and the week after things perhaps are related to Yom Kippur on Shabbos. Therefore, we want to start a topic and leave us hanging until after we continue it. So, although we still have a few minutes today, I'm going to hold it here for today. Wish everybody a wonderful week. And we may say next week we'll get back, but we'll talk more on Rosh Hashanah related, the fact that the Shabbos will be, even though the next topic is a Chonos, it will be related of preparing from one day to the next, preparing for Shabbos, the Yom Tov, Erev Tevshilin. So in this session, that's what we will discuss next week. Wishing you all a wonderful
week. I'm going to ask you something. What about paying for a seat on Yom Tov? How does that fit in with Schar Shabbos?
Essentially, my first thought would be that it should be no different to what we said, renting a room for Shabbos. If you rent a room for Shabbos, then that also is considered a Schar Shabbos. And therefore, if the seat is rented for purely for just for Yom Tov, just for Shabbos, then in the Hanami, that would be Schar Shabbos. So how is it that all our shuls are now the season of Yom Haroim, and Yom Haroim, you've got to pay for your seat? How do you pay for your seat? So it must be they're relying on various Ethereum, but the money that you're paying for your seat essentially is going to the upkeep of the shul that is going to be down through the whole year. This is a major source of income for communities, especially shuls that don't have membership fees, and even shuls that do have membership fees, the membership fees never cover the running of the shul. Therefore, a way of increasing the income is selling seats for Yom HaNaroim. So therefore, the money essentially true, it's for what you're going to be using over Rosh Hashanah, but the money you're paying in would be for the upkeep and the preparation that Gabbai has had a lot of time on Erev Rosh Hashanah, setting up the tablecloths. The shul has to be cleaned. So I imagine, without asking around what the heter is, but I imagine that's the heter based on what we said, that when you go to a hotel, so you're only using it for Shabbos, but you're paying for the rent of the room includes the cleaning up and the preparing and all the rest. So to ensure what you're paying for is not just your seat, but also for the actual running of the shul on a proper basis. Okay, hope that answered the question.